What an awesome God we serve. And His name is? Amen. Welcome to the house of the Lord on a Sunday night. Amen. Thank you for letting the Holy Ghost move, have His way in this place tonight. Amen, 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 amen. We're going to go to the Word of the Lord. I felt the Lord speak to me early this morning and just told me to let a particular fellow preach tonight. And I said, well, Lord, maybe that's me. And remind me after church. So I was headed on over to the fellowship hall, and the Holy Ghost said, now be sure. So I said, Lord, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to fail you. So I've asked Brother Box to preach for us tonight. So without any further ado, I believe we're in the Lord's will. Would you make welcome to this pulpit, Brother Box, tonight?
I won't be lengthy. I told my wife today, I said, normally Brother Causey has 14 or 15 pages of notes. So if I don't give you at least half of that, I do feel like I've got a message tonight. Here a couple of weeks ago, God began to deal with my heart as I began to pray and study. And God gave me this message. We're going to be going to the book of Jude. You say, well, I don't know where the book of Jude is. The last book in your Bible is the book of Revelations. The book of Jude is right before the book of Revelations. So if you flip to the very back of the book, Jude's only got one chapter. And we're going to be reading Jude chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. And I know from a pastor's standpoint, from Brother Causey's standpoint, I appreciate the opportunity to stand before you tonight. Brother Causey's an awesome man of God. And sometimes when you stand in a pulpit, he'll tell you as well, there's times when you stand to preach when God's given you a message that you really don't want to have to speak. But you know it's what God has given you. So that's what I'm going to endeavor to do tonight. Jude chapter 1 and verse 11. And the Bible says, woe unto them. Let's start with verse 10. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally is brute beast. In those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. Brother Causey, would you pray over the service? And you can be seated. I wanted to preach for a little while tonight on a title called Forgiveness. I want to cover for just a little while tonight this verse in chapter 1, verse 11. The way of Cain, the era of Balaam, and the gainsaying of Kor. I want to take you for a few minutes through Scripture and share some Scriptures of these stories. As I begin to read and study this, God began to deal with my heart. The Bible says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and they have ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and they have perished in the gainsaying of Kor. I want to look at it for a little while. I want to look at the life of Cain. I want to look at the life of Balaam. I want to look at the life of Korah. When you study Scripture in Genesis 4 and 1, the Bible says, Eve had Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. When you begin to study on down in Genesis chapter 4, the Bible says that Cain brought an offering, but God did not have respect unto it. And in 4 and 7, God says, Cain, this is God speaking to Cain. So before you get too hard at Cain, stop and think for just a moment. God's speaking to him. So he couldn't have been all bad at one time. God's speaking to Cain, and he said, Cain, if you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if not, sin is lying at the door. You see, in Genesis 4 and 8, Cain talked with Abel, his brother. But there was hate in his heart towards Abel. Cain was jealous that God had accepted Abel's sacrifice and not his own. And I thought, how many times do we come into service and people will be worshiping and we'll look around and God will accept that individual, but for whatever reason, God chooses not to accept ours. And instead of creating within us a spirit and a desire to find out why God accepted their sacrifice and rejected ours, we do not. But it turns to a spirit of jealousy. And we look at that individual and say, well, I don't see why they're getting blessed. What have they done for God to bless them? You do not read one time that Cain asked the Lord, or Abel, to forgive him, or to try and learn from his brother to sacrifice the right way and to be accepted. You see, all Cain had to do was go to where his brother was at and say, you know, Abel, something ain't going right. I'm not doing something right. God looks like he's pleased with what you're doing, but for some reason he's not pleased with what I'm doing. Could you help me out? You're my brother, and I want to be standing by your side. You see, I understand you're my brother, and I should love you. I should embrace you. But instead of getting things in my heart, that's right God's way, there arose a jealousy, which most of the time happens in individuals. Instead of him looking at his brother and saying, okay, he accepted. He was accepted by God, and I was not. And I'm going to get with him and have him pray for me, have him encourage me, have him help me to better understand what I'm doing wrong. But no, he didn't do that. You see, in verse 8, let me flip to that real quick. Can you put Genesis 4 and 8 on the screen for me? And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. You know, it was astounding to me, Brother Causey, that one minute he's talking to his brother, and in the same exact verse, that talk that he was talking to him, what happened? He was talking to him one minute, he's rising up to slay him the next. And it's in the same scripture. You see, Cain's talking to him. But what happened? You see, he could be around his brother. He had become so affected by his brother being blessed and him not being blessed until he began to affect the relationship with his brother to the point to where he could be talking with his brother in one sentence and slaying him in the next. And as I began to pray and think about that, Cain rose up against his brother Abel to slay him. Genesis 4 and 9, the Bible reads, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Look close at that verse, verse 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? You see, so many times we come into the presence of our brethren, and God may ask, where is your brother? You see the next portion of that scripture where it says, and he said, I know not. What Cain just done right there, he lied to God. He knew exactly where his brother was because he was the one that had slew him. I know not, God. I don't know. Cain, has it reached a point to where jealousy's gripped your heart so bad that you would lie about where your brother's at? Who do you think you're talking to, Cain? I'm not your dad, I'm not your mom, I'm not the cousin down the road. I'm an almighty God, and I've seen what happened before it happened. He said, Lord, I don't know where he's at. Am I my brother's keeper? You know, when I have an ought against my brother, I won't really care where he is. And I won't really care what happens to him. Hear me, somebody. When you get an ought against someone, it won't really bother your heart or your spirit what happens to them or where they are, because there's something in your heart that's not right. That's why I'm preaching about forgiveness tonight. As I cover each one of these men, you'll recognize their stories would have turned out much different if they would have learned to have a spirit of forgiveness on the inside of them. But somehow over time, they could be in the midst of their brethren and they could talk one thing, but yet they was producing something completely different from what they were talking about. Genesis 4 and 10, the Lord said, "What have you done? Cain, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying out unto me from the ground." Now art thou cursed, because the earth has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. He said in verse 12, the Lord talked to him and said, "A fugitive and a vagabond shalt you be." Cain said unto the Lord, he said, "Lord, the punishment you're giving me is greater than I can bear." What happened to Cain? Why does the Bible say the way of Cain? Because Cain stood against his brother. Hear me, somebody. Cain stood against that one he was supposed to be close to. Cain stood against that one that he should have been praying for on the altar, wrapping his arms around his neck, embracing him, and saying, "Can we get close to God together?" Instead of, "Well, he got a better relationship than I do, or he's closer to God than I am." Well, if he is, friend, I need to find out what he's doing to get close to God so I can get closer myself. But instead of having a relationship of standing by his brother, wrapping his arms around him, praying for him and saying, "Can't we get close to God together?" Something got in his heart and got in his spirit. He said, "Well, I just can't believe God would accept that offering. God, my offering's just as good. I handpicked these vegetables myself." But you see, that's not what God wanted. And friends, so many times you offer whatever you want, but don't think that just because you offer an offering unto God, he's supposed to accept it. Because even with Cain and Abel, friend, he said, "I accept this one, but I don't this one." Don't think, friend, that just because I offer, hell, I'm going to come in and offer him a little praise. He don't have to accept that. When I offer something, it's got to be from the heart. And when it is, God knows. And when he knows it's from my heart, he will accept it. But Cain stood against his brother. And God said, "It's the way of Cain." He said, "Woe unto them in Jude." He said, "For they have went in the way of Cain." What was he wanting to tell us? He said, "The earth hath opened her mouth to receive your brother's blood, Cain. You thought it was hid. You thought the animosity against your brother would not be recognized. You thought I'd sweep it under the rug and wouldn't notice it. You thought you could do whatever you wanted to do against your brother and I'd let it go by the way." But he said, "No. The earth has opened her mouth and received the blood of your brother." The earth opened her mouth and received your brother's blood. He stood against his brother. I'm preaching to somebody because I felt this in the Holy Ghost. He stood against his brother. The one that normally would have been the one that would have pulled him out of a ditch. The one that normally would have been the one that says, "Hey, let's go fishing together." The brother that normally would have been the one that says, "Hey, I know you're a little down. Here's a little extra money to help you get on your way." The brother that normally would have took him out to eat when he knew he had low funds. The brother that would have embraced him and said, "Hey, I know we're going through some hard times, but we're brothers. And if you'll help me, I'll make it just like you're going to make it. I'll make it just like you're going to make it." But you see, that wasn't a story, because Cain stood against the thing that God had intended to be something close to him. Can I ask you today? I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just preaching a message of what God laid on my heart. But God says, be sure to tell everyone that's here. I hope they do not reach a place to where they're standing in the same shoes that Cain stood in. God put a punishment on him. He said, "You're cursed." This is God talking to Cain. He said, now art thou cursed. Friend, when God puts a cursing on you, that's something that no man wants. It ain't like being cursed by your boss. It ain't like being cursed by your husband or wife. It ain't like being cursed by your friend. We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he stood and he said, now you're cursed, Cain, because you had something in your heart against your brother, and it was not right. And you did that which wasn't pleasing in my sight, and now I put a curse on you. He stood against his brother. Let's move to Balaam. Numbers chapter 22, verses 5 and 6. And I'm going to paraphrase some of them for time. Balaam was a man of God. He was sent for by the king of Moab to curse God's people. Balaam was told, this was the king of Moab talking. He said, Balaam, I've heard and I understand that whoever you bless, because you're a man of God, whoever you bless, Balaam, they're blessed. And whoever you curse, Balaam, they seem to be cursed. Numbers 22 and 9, God came to Balaam. And he asked him, he said, Balaam, what men are these with you? In other words, he was asking him, Balaam, who are you with? What kind of company are you keeping? Who are you hanging around? Because these men was men that was asking the man of God to curse God's people. And a real man of God will never curse the people of God. That's why I'm thankful we've got a pastor like we do, friend. He loves you far deeper than you'll ever realize. He loves you greater and deeper than you'll ever understand. But God asked him, he said, what men are these? What men are you with? Balaam, you know you're not supposed to be with these folks. Why did you allow yourself to get put in this position? 22 and 12, he told Balaam, he said, don't go with them. I'm telling you, Balaam, this is me talking. You know me, God. This is me talking. Don't go with them. Do not curse them, for they are blessed. Don't curse them, Balaam. I know you talk to me. I know you communicate with me. I know people look up to you and respect you. But don't curse my people, because I've blessed them. Numbers 22 and 13, Balaam said, he told the king and the men, he said, the Lord hath refused to let me go with you. I can't go. We had a prayer meeting and a talk, and God told me I'm not supposed to curse God's people. I can't go. In Numbers 22 and 17, Balak tells Balaam, he said, listen to this now, because this is what the enemy will come in and do and try to get you if he can't reach you no other way. Balak tells Balaam, he said, I will promote thee, in verse 17, unto very great honor, and I'll do whatever you want if you'll just come curse God's people. You see, the enemy will make it look so enticing. I'll offer you this. You need this new car? You need this pile of money? You need this? All you got to do, just one little hitch. He don't show you the flip side of the coin, friend. All you got to do, Balaam, I'll promote you to great honor. But I got a question for you. What is great honor without God? Sometimes, friend, we get our values and our thinking process confused to think that because somebody's got plenty of money, they got great honor. But if all they got is money and they don't have God, they don't have great honor. But he told him, he said, I can't go. He said, I'll promote you to great honor. And whatever you want, you speak it and we'll get it for you. You see, the enemy understood. If I can do one thing, and this is the main thing the enemy desires to do in any church, you hear me. If I can do one thing, all I want to do is cause division in the people of God. Because if I can cause division, if I can cause cursings, if I can cause disgruntlement between the brethren, if I can cause disgruntlement between God's people, then I'll have them right where I want them to be. Numbers 22 and 22, the Bible says, and God's anger was kindled because he went. He was upset. God's anger was kindled. That means he was upset. Because he went. Because he told him, he said, I don't want you to go. But he done it anyway. I wonder how many times God has spoken to us and says, don't do this. But we just went ahead and done it our way. We just went ahead and done it anyway. And God's anger gets upset. Numbers 22 and 23, the Bible says, the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword was drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside. And I'm not reading all of it, I'm just paraphrasing some of it. The ass saw the angel of the Lord, the animal that Balaam was riding to go to where God's people was. You see, he had done lost sight. He gets a revelation here in a bit. But he had done lost sight of what God had really wanted him to do. Numbers 22 and 25, the Bible says that Balaam's foot was crushed. He began to talk to the donkey. The Bible says, Numbers 22 and 28, the Lord opened the mouth. Remember the first one. The Lord opened, the earth opened and received the blood. That was on Cain. Now the mouth of the ass is open. And she said to Balaam. And Balaam began to talk back to the ass. You see, when an individual is against and disagreeable to the church, things will talk to you that should not ever have a voice. In nature, a donkey don't talk. But you see what happened. Balaam had reached a place and got in a place to where he began to be disagreeable against the people of God. And because he was, God opened the mouth of an ass. And now he's talking to it. Listen to this. God opened the mouth of an ass and he gave a revelation that he could not give to Balaam because he was going against God's people. I said he opened the mouth of the ass and gave that donkey revelation to be able to talk. But he couldn't give revelation to the prophet. He couldn't give revelation to Balaam because he was going against the people of God. Numbers 23 and 20, he said, I have received a commandment to bless. God hath blessed. He hath blessed. He's talking about God. And I cannot reverse it. Numbers 24 and 3, the man whose eyes are open. You see, now Balaam's got a revelation. He's got an understanding that he never should have went to curse God's people in the first place. And in verse 13, he says, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of mine own mind. But what the Lord saith, that will I speak. Balaam stood against God's people. And then I'm fixing to cover core and I'll be done. You see, Cain? Cain stood against his brother. You got any brothers in the house? Balaam! Balaam stands against the people of God. And now we're at Korah. Number 16 and 2. The Bible talks about Korah. And it says, they rose up before Moses. And they was telling Moses, hey, this is what's going on, Moses. Number 16 and 2. We think you're taking too much on yourself. We know you're the pastor and all. We know God speaks to you and all. We know you're the one that God's put before us. But we just think you're taking too much on yourself. And what happened when Moses heard it? 16 and 4, he done like our pastor would do. He fell on his face. He fell on his face. And he began to pray. Because what do real men of God do when they're faced with adversity? They fall on their face and pray and ask God to be merciful. Ask God to be sparing. Ask God to be kind. Ask God to be helpful to those that are against them. That's a hard thing to do and pray, friend. If you've never been in that position, the Lord ought to bless you to be in it one or two times to let you understand what it's like to be in a spot where you're praying for somebody that's mistreating and abusing and all the other things that go with that. It's a tough place to be, but I'm thankful God blesses us with men that's able to handle those situations with godliness, holiness, grace, love, kindness, and compassion. Moses fell on his face. 16 and 9, he said, Moses is talking. He said, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel? Number 16 and 21, God's talking to him, to Moses. He said, Moses, separate yourself from the congregation. If you'll just step away from them. I thank God every day, our pastor. You listen to this. He said, separate yourself, Moses, from this people. If you'll just separate yourself from them, I'll consume them in a moment. I just want you to get out of the way so it don't affect you. Just separate yourself, Moses, and I'll take care of the problem. I'll consume them before you can blink your eye. And Moses said in verse 22, he said, Lord, shall one man sin? And will you be wroth with everybody? Lord, I'm the one you put here. Lord, I know you got me over this great multitude of Israel. But I'm asking you, just because one man messes up, are you going to take them all out? Will you be wroth with all the congregation, Lord? Verse 29, Moses began to pray a prayer. And I thought, oh God, how hard would it be to pray this prayer? Pastor, Moses is standing before his congregation. And he's praying a prayer he's never had to pray. He's saying, if these men die, you see, Moses loved these people. He didn't want nothing to happen to them. He had to pray a prayer. If these men die, the common death, then the Lord hath not sent me. In verse 30, he says, the Lord make a new thing. Listen to this. And the earth open her mouth and swallow them up. The earth has done opened its mouth one time to receive the blood of Cain. Why? Because Cain stood against his brother. Now God's allowing the earth to open its mouth one more time and swallow them up. Why? Because now the man is standing against the man of God. Number 16 and 31, as soon as Moses quit speaking, he was praying a prayer. As soon as he quit speaking, the Bible says the ground clave asunder. And in verse 32, the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up. Korah, who are you standing against? Well, I'm standing against the man of God. Brother Causey had no idea what I was preaching on. God gave this to me a couple weeks ago. And I wouldn't say anything to hurt my pastor because I love him so much. But God told me, he said, you speak what I've told you. Korah stood against the man of God. What are you doing, Korah? Well, I know God put him here. I know he's the one that prays and seeks over me, but I think he's just getting too much stuff on himself. Now, friend, you can clap, say hallelujah, thank the Lord, whatever you want to, but I'm going to preach exactly what I feel like God told me to say. And this is exactly what God gave me. He was standing against the only thing that could help him out in time of trouble, and that was a man of God that would pray for him, that would love for him, that would sweat tears at night over him. He stood against the man of God. All three of these men, listen to me, and I'm fixing to come to a close. All three of these men never learned the art of forgiveness. Because if they had, Cain would have went and asked Abel to forgive him, and the story would have been written differently. Korah would have went and embraced Moses and said, I know you're the man of God. I know I've made some mistakes, Moses. Would you help me to get past this? Moses, I know I made some ass. What I'd done was wrong. Would you help me to get over this, Moses? You're my pastor. You're the one God's put over me. Help me, Moses. But you see, Korah didn't do that. Balaam, why are you going against the church? I come with a heavy burden hard on my spirit. God said, you tell somebody, woe! Woe! Woe to them that stand in the way of Cain. Friend, don't you stand in the shoes of Cain and go against your brother. Don't stand in the shoes of Balaam and go against the church. Don't stand in the shoes of Korah and stand against the man of God. He said, woe. Woe. Woe! As I come tonight, as we stand, I'm fixed to come to a close. I want to open these altars. Jason Crabb sung a song, and it said, please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you, Lord. I'm at your mercy. I'll serve you until my dying day. Please forgive me. As I stand behind this pulpit tonight, I ask the Lord, please forgive me. I don't want to stand before the Lord and say, well, you'd have made it in. You had something against your brother and you just couldn't forgive him. You'd have made it in today with the rest of them, but you had something against the church and you just couldn't forgive it. You'd have made it in today, but you got something in your heart against the man of God I put over you. And you just couldn't forgive him. What's it going to take to break us? To understand, friend, if I'm going to make heaven, I got to have a spirit of forgiveness. I'm not going to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and have stuff in my heart against my brother. Have stuff in my heart against the church. Have stuff in my heart against the man of God. It ain't going to happen. There's some, you're in here tonight, and God is telling me in my heart and spirit, if you're not careful, you're getting ready to put on the shoes of Cain. You're getting ready to try on the shoes of Balaam. You're getting ready to slip on the shoes of Korah. Well, it wasn't my fault, Brother Boggs. It wasn't my fault. That's the time when you need a spirit of forgiveness. Because if you can learn to forgive when it was not your fault, then it'll be easy to forgive when it is your fault. These altars are open. Somebody like to come and pray and say, Lord, I need you to forgive me. You may need to call somebody and ask for forgiveness. You may need to pray and say, God, help me to have a spirit of forgiveness today. I don't want to be lost, friend, but I've got to have a spirit of forgiveness on the inside of my heart, soul, and spirit to cause me to forgive somebody. I must forgive. I must forgive. I can't make it without it. Come on, somebody. Pray to your breakthrough in this house today. Pray to your breakthrough in this sanctuary right now. Friend, I've got to forgive. You've got to forgive. We all must forgive. We all must forgive.